And we are back with another episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. aka Superall 357, best known as Prince Godbody. And this week, I'll be giving you all the news and opinions myself. No, I'm not joined by Nate. He is busy this week, and so is King Brumman. So this week, you'll just have to bear with just me. And, well, we don't really have anything too sad to start to talk about today, which is a really positive thing. But we are going to start out with, I guess, the technically worst news on the slate this week. And it's not even, it's definitely bad news, but it's more disheartening than anything else. And that news is, if you haven't heard, the governor of Mississippi was working along with Brett Favre in order to tunnel like funds to build a volleyball stadium. But that's not necessarily something that is uncommon, you know, people rerouting funds to you know, bolster public institutions and things like that. That's not really the shocker here. The shocking part of all this is, so the governor of Mississippi and Brett Favre have been having an open and ongoing line of communication this entire time to get this volleyball stadium built. And it is at their alma mater, the University of Southern Mississippi, which Brett Favre's daughter actually plays on the volleyball team now. So they worked together in order to fund a new volleyball stadium for the college. But instead of it coming out of millionaire Brett Favre's pocket, or possible millionaire Mississippi governor's pocket, or any of the boosters' pockets for the college, the way that they chose to get the funds for this volleyball stadium, arena, however you want to call it, is to funnel funds that should have went to welfare recipients. So programs like SNAP and TANF and all those things, those programs, they're missing $5 million because the Mississippi governor and Brett Favre, of all people, I don't know why that he has so much influence, and it's only because he's probably their most notable fucking graduate, or, you know, former alumni. Golly, I can't think of the word. Brett Favre is probably their most popular, most successful alumni, so that's why they went to him. But to think that someone who could barely keep his personal business together and out of the media would be able to hide a scam as big as this is mind-blowing. To think that the people would have not realized that $5 million was missing from the welfare fund, and not necessarily missing, but that it was rerouted for something as menial as a volleyball stadium. At what point do they just say, even with colleges and the things that they produce, it's never about the education. It's never about the benefit of the people even attending the college, for real, for real. This had everything to do with Brett Favre and this governor's ego and them just being able to manipulate the process to make sure that this happened. Because there's no way you're telling me that anybody cares enough about fucking University of Southern Mississippi's volleyball team enough that they're willing to just give $5 million to this team to build a stadium, which, if you ask me, is probably going to be named after Brett Favre. Nobody was going to do that. So guess what they did? Instead of, you know, doing the logical thing and funding it themselves, they just went on and stole the money from poor people who really need it. And right now, Mississippi, if anything, is one of those places where the disparaged are being even more disparaged. There's a water crisis that's not being paid attention to. And now you got fucking football players and governors trying to take your welfare funds. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't make much nice sense, I guess. So in a way, it's just disheartening to see that someone who Because I expect the politician to be this dirty. I just don't expect the politician to be this dirty for a football player who couldn't even necessarily keep his name out of the streets, even during his playing career and pretty much his entire playing career. But I guess in a way that's another neither here nor there. On to the next, and that next is comments that have been made by Kyrie Irving. Well, this one is kind of hard to break down. Because the thing with Kyrie is he's saying what he believes. He's saying it loud. He's saying it proud. He's doing what he thinks. And he's saying things that he thinks are righteous and that other people won't say. But over these last like week and a half or so during the offseason, Kyrie has been especially vocal on social media with these beliefs. And it all kind of started, the stirring started with him reposting an Alex Jones InfoWars clip that, if you know who Alex Jones is, if you don't, Alex Jones is the man who's currently having to pay $40+ million to the victim, the families of the victims of Sandy Hook, for saying it is a hoax. He's pretty much known as an internet conspiracy theorist, nut job, but some people would say sometimes he has good ideas, and one of those people would be Kyrie, because he did happen to repost a video of Alex Jones speaking about essentially being government controlled, new world order, that type of thing on Instagram. And he followed it up in the recent days saying that if he's unvaccinated and he can play, everybody who's unvaccinated should be able to get to work and all this, that, and the third. But the thing that Kyrie is really missing is that COVID was real for a lot of people. COVID definitely killed a lot of people. Biden says we're out of a pandemic and people pretend we're out of a pandemic, but this seriously affected people to the point where it was just more than a sickness. Them telling people to get vaccinated, stay in the house, was more than population control for the sake of government power. It was trying to control people for the sake of everyone else. And that's even with anybody who takes the same stance as Kyrie. That's one thing I feel like they just generally miss out on in general, is the whole purpose of all the pandemic protocols we were undergoing the last 2 or 3 years. They were necessary and they saved lives. They are the reason that we're not still dealing with this shit. And for someone with as big as a platform as Kyrie Irving to still propagate these ideas, it's foolish. I'm not going to say that Kyrie Irving himself is foolish, but to propagate these ideas with the position he's in is completely foolish. And he's going to stay in Drew Tate thing. You can't just go out there, no matter how much free speech exists, you can't go out there and kind of spread dumb speech on the internet, especially since the internet isn't even an American thing inherently. It's a worldwide thing. So I don't think they'll kick Kyrie off the internet. I don't think he deserves to be kicked off the internet. I just think he might need to do a little bit more research as to the things that he's talking about, because seemingly he has no clue. And it definitely shows, not necessarily through his opinions, but the way in which he presents his opinions. Speaking of opinions, this is about to be really the meat of the episode, I would say. So if you haven't been keeping up, Kanye is in an ongoing battle with Gap and pretty much everybody in the world. Kanye just will not give it up at this point. And honestly, as the story keeps unfolding, Kanye is looking a bit less bright by the day. Right now, Kanye's biggest gripe with Adidas and Gap and everybody is that he doesn't have total creative control over the product in every single aspect of it. Before, when we were talking about this, Kanye was saying they were re-releasing the colorways without his permission, and that's true. But he also has gone on to kind of show his contracts with these companies, and this is things he's agreed to. Kanye, at the beginning of all these contracts, essentially agreed to let these fashion houses, Gap and Adidas, use his name to make products. He would not own the products. He would just own the name. Once the product is in production, he could not create products like it that use the same name, use the same silhouettes, that sort of thing. Essentially, they bought Kanye's ideas, and now he's mad that the contract is playing out the way it did, just like it was with his UMG contract. Kanye seemingly, especially with the, it ain't Ralph though, it ain't Ralph, that type of thing. He was begging for this corporate attention, this corporate sponsorship, these corporate dollars to obtain his goals and get to that level. And once he signed a contract to do that, and he got to that level, i.e. Yeezy with Adidas and Gap, he looks at the contract and says, I've made X amount of money. I feel like I should have total control over the product, even though that's not what I signed. And in reality, no matter how much money Yeezy bought to Adidas, Adidas makes is the most popular sports brand in the world. All the soccer teams are Puma or Adidas, which are both Adidas fucking companies. Yeezy might have bought them a few billion dollars, but it didn't grow the worth of Adidas so exponentially that they would be willing to void or reconstruct this contract for Kanye West when seemingly 100% knew what he was getting to in the first place. And now, he even today is trying to say that they're trying to sell his masters from up under his nose. And honestly, I don't know if and then it was called out as fake. So I don't know if this is even, I hate to say it, I don't know if I'm even on Kanye's side with this one. He's trying to say they're selling my masters under my nose like they did Taylor Swift. But no, in your contract, you probably never owned that shit. How are they going to sell something you never owned? They're not going to give you the right to buy it because you are typically the hardest person to work with contractually down the long run, as you've shown time and time again. So, of course, I don't see companies really being willing to go out of their way to do anything for Kanye West with as much as he's gone out of his way to shit on pretty much essentially every partnership he's ever forged with a major company in his entire career. Basically, this whole Kanye thing comes down to a big case of be careful what you wish for, because Kanye has been wishing for this his entire life. He wanted to be on that Ralph level, blah, blah, this and the third. And once he got there, he realized what it took since he didn't put his own dollars into it. He didn't have the money to do it, and now he's mad that the people that had the money to do it are sticking by the contract they made him sign. I mean, and that's it at the end of the day. He doesn't have to stick by the contract because they'll probably let him go and just say, fuck it, we don't want to deal with the public harassment, the mob mentality harassment and shit. But after here, where is there to go if you're Kanye West, if you don't do it all out of pocket? If he doesn't do it all out of pocket, I don't think Kanye is going to really survive in the fashion game. I was speaking to an artist selling their masters. Future is selling some of their catalog. Future is reportedly selling some of his catalog for about $70 million. Go Future. That whole conversation is one that needs to be had separately. Maybe sometime this week we'll have that conversation for you guys. Moving on, because I don't want to keep y'all all day with just me. I know one voice gets really monotonous. But with keeping on, Drake, this is some of the corniest shit I've heard in a good minute. So, Drake recently approached music reviewer, YouTuber, blogger Anthony Fantano via Instagram DM, pretty much just to berate the man for not liking his music. And this is just the corniest shit ever, if you ask me, from Drake. It's the guy's job to shit on music in an elaborate way or boast it up in an elaborate way. People wouldn't watch this shit if he just said thumbs up or thumbs down. You know what I'm saying? And he's the biggest at it, so that's why Drake went to him, approached him. But for what reason? Like, what does it make? What sense does it make? You press Anthony Fantano, but you're not pressing a Funk Flex. Like, it doesn't matter that much, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not a Fantano fan or anything like that. I don't watch the content. I don't even really know what his opinions are most times on the music and shit like that. I just think the concept of someone as big as Drake approaching someone as mid-major as Anthony Fantano over an opinion and then trying to be like Mr. Tough Guy about it after Anthony Fantano made it. I guess what made Drake really release the real DMs was Fantano making a joke out of Drake DMing him. He said he put a cookie recipe in there. You know, the guy was making some content. He's a content creator. He was making content. It was funny. It was harmless. And what Drake did, I guess, was funny and harmless, too. Because it's just words back and forth. But at the end of the day, it's corny as all get up. But what do you expect from Drake, who changes his racial identity and fucking accent every 6 months? You know what I'm saying? I guess he's Tough Guy this year instead of a certified lover boy like he was last year. Because he said we better stop playing with his name because he not having that shit, I guess. But yeah, that happened. So that is the I guess the non-confrontational. That was the non-violent beef that occurred over the weekend or that we saw about. Time to get on to the violence. That was so corny. So if you are unaware, I guess I'll break down the situation before I get into the situation. Over the weekend, Tory Lanez and August Alsina were in the same location. August Alsina approached Tory Lanez about something Tory Lanez said months ago regarding the whole Jada Pinkett, August Alsina, Will Smith situation. Well, August approaches Tory, what it seems to be on kind of hype energy from what has been told. Tory's trying to calm it down, talk it out, you know, brush it over, say that, you know, this is why I said it, blah, blah, go about the man way. They said August Alsina still was piping up, and it ends up in Tory Lanez socking August Alsina, which has been confirmed by August Alsina's Instagram post of all things about the matter. He's saying that Tory Lanez snuck him, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. But the real thing here is right now we got to believe everything Tory say about him being willing to defend himself. Tory, this is not the first time Tory Lanez has been called on camera, on picture, on audio, threatening to fight a motherfucker, threatening to fight a rapper. It's happened to Travis Scott. Look, and August Alsina confirmed it happened to him. He got on Instagram like a fucking cornball, posting his bloody mouth like a badge of honor or something. But the Tory Lanez, I guess, the short man complex, Napoleon complex, really got him. Because if they're, right now he's sitting, I'll say it got him because though he didn't do anything, I guess, totally out of line, right now he's still sitting this trial with the whole Meg situation. And I would feel like being a Canadian citizen, not being an American citizen, I wouldn't be over here putting myself in any positions to catch a charge. You know, because you never know how people are going to react to things. August Alsina could have been on all the bullshit to try to draw him out just so he could get, you know, fucked up again legally. And honestly, that's something like that beyond the even Tory situation. That's something that rappers gotta think about in general. Like, a lot of these guys end up getting hemmed up because they're on probation or they're in a waiting period sitting for another trial and they fuck up again. And though Tory, you know, I can't say whether it was right he punched the man. They were going back and forth. Maybe August Alsina didn't feel like it, but it obviously wasn't that big of a thing to him if he ran a fucking Instagram about it. So for that part, I can't say anything. What I can say is, even if that man was talking slick, he did want to jaw back and forth. shit, man, I guess it's a pride thing. You can't let your pride get in the way. Because now you let your pride get in the way. If he really wanted to be pussy about it, he could fold your whole life up for the next, for the foreseeable future. And Tory Lanez is one of those people who's super productive as far as putting out his music. And he has to be as far as being an independent musician, because that's where all his revenue comes from. He can't afford to not be on the streets, not doing shows, shit like that. He still went back and did the show that night, you know, on some G shit or whatever. But it's like, at what point do you realize the position you're in, whether it's an extremely positive position, a positive position, or an extremely negative position, or even a positive position with some negative mixed in, or vice versa? At what point do we start to stop and really evaluate our place once we've made it? I guess, like, why are you punching August Alsina? We ain't he known to be a crybaby bitch boy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, leave it alone. Finally, the news that everybody's been waiting on for years. This game came out 9 years ago, and finally, we're getting an update. So, if you've been living under a rock or you haven't heard, somehow, some way, we got our very first look at Grand Theft Auto 6, and boy, it was not the way the developers wanted us to get a look at it. If you've been under a rock or you haven't been paying attention, over the weekend, a little alpha, pre-alpha, super pre-alpha footage and source code from the upcoming Rockstar game, Grand Theft Auto 6, was leaked online. And if you're familiar with video games at all, you're familiar with Grand Theft Auto and how big of a series it is for gaming. And if you're a little bit more familiar with gaming, you're familiar with those who developed the game, Rockstar, how well they develop games and how kind of tight-knit, don't get any information before we want you to have it. They are about their products and why all that contributes to the fact that this leak is a huge fucking thing. Whether it's going to delay the game or not, I'll start by saying, yes, I feel like it will delay the game, but not by enough for us to notice. For example, let's say the game is going to come out January 2024. Instead of coming out that first week, I feel like it'll come out that third or fourth week now. And that's not because the footage was leaked, that they're going to go and change the characters or anything like that. The really big disheartening problem for the developers and people who are wanting the game ASAP is the leaking of the source code. Because if somebody wants to, if they have that source code, once the game comes out and it's unchanged, they could go back, reverse engineer, and change things about the game that are not meant to be changed. Which Rockstar, and their level of attention to detail with their games and the amount of time, effort, and work they put into them, they don't want that at all. They don't want mod. They want you to experience the game they have right there, and that the game they've made, nothing else. But let's talk a little bit about what we saw in the leaks. In these leaks, we finally got a look at what has been rumored for a year or two now, which was the main female protagonist. We did get to see her. We got to see the male protagonist, Jason. We got to see a little bit of the movement. We got to see, like, gun pickup now. It's not just going to be rifling through an inventory. Kind of looks like you'll be picking them up off the ground. Kind of like more realistic. But honestly, we did not see much. And the reason we didn't see much is because this footage we saw isn't the game. It's kind of like the pre-structure, just feeling shit out, getting models in there, getting movements down, seeing how shit looks. This doesn't have any. A lot of people were complaining about the visual quality. One, it's video ripped from a leak. Of course, it's not going to be 4K fucking 60 FPS quality or anything like that. It's going to be whatever you can get. But it's also what people have to understand is the footage we're seeing now is not from the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X, it's probably from last gen. Our computer, our PC, running last gen specs, that type of thing. So I wouldn't worry in that aspect at all. I know Rockstar. I've been playing Rockstar games essentially my whole life, and I have faith that they'll come out with another fucking banger for GTA 6. And if the story doesn't suck, the online's going to be good just because the concept is fucking overwhelmingly amazing. It's been working for 9 years, and it hasn't fallen off, and it won't. But yeah, the Rockstar did confirm the leaks, which was really the biggest news. They were so disappointed, as they should, as they said they would be, or as we knew they would be, rather. They did confirm the leak, so I guess this is a good and bad thing for all of us waiting for GTA 6. We know it's on the way, we know it's in production, we know it's actively working on it, but damn if the leakers just can't keep their asses in their seats, hands on their keyboards for a second and let Rockstar do their job, we might not get the product we truly want, because I'm telling you, just remember Red Dead 2. Remember how long we waited for Red Dead 2 and how amazing that game was. And I'll say I'm ready to do that same thing for GTA 6 in the next 2 or 3 years when that game finally does hit shelves. But for this week, that's all I have. Make sure to subscribe to us on all platforms. Make sure that you're following us here or subscribe to us here on YouTube. Hit the bell for notifications. Follow us on all social media at Simple Math Matrix, except Twitter, where it's Simple Math MTRX. It's your boy, Mr., aka Prince God Body. And your boy is out.